Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, help me welcome somebody beside you. Praise God. All right. Praise God. All right, so how has it been? You know, one of the comments that seems to be a bit consistent about this meeting is people asking, is this in the Bible? You know, is this in the Bible like that? All right, but it is, because we're reading it. You know, but has it been wonderful? You know, one thing that I've had to put up, you know, even on social media about this meeting, is that it's going to be days of revelation and transformation. It will be days of revelation and transformation. And I want to believe that the Word of God is coming to us clear. Amen. All right, it's coming to us in an interesting format where we're looking at the vitals of Christianity. We're looking at the very, very important things of Christianity. And I believe that we can't be the same again. Amen. Come on, or can we? No. We can't be the same again. We can't go back to that small life. Anybody wants a small life? Want the big one? Want the massive one? Want to live an expansive life? Glory to God. It's time to live large by the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, it's our third day, and it's a good one. It's our third day. We have revelation and illumination in Jesus' name. Our eyes are open. We see, we receive. Amen. All right, but like I said on day one, even when it seems big for your mind, just tell yourself, I receive, I believe. I believe it. I just read it. My mind is still asking what's up, but I believe it. I can see it, so I believe it. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. Straight to the Message translation. 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. Glory to God. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter what? This wide open spacious life. I love the way this version describes it. Paul, like I've said, is talking about his relationship with the Corinthian church, but it's not doing injustice to the fact that we borrow that to explain also what God is saying. Paul says, I cannot tell how much that I long for you to enter this wide open spacious life. This life is big. Amen. Tell anybody, it is spacious. Come on, it is spacious. Glory to God. All right, the next verse says, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you are living them in a small way. Tell yourself, not anymore. Come on, somebody say, not anymore. Not any longer. I'm living large. I'm living full. I'm living free. I'm enjoying what is mine. Glory to God. Let's look at 12 again. Verse 12. It says, we didn't fence you in. God is not blocking you. You know, Psalm 84:11 says, he's not withholding any good thing from you. It says, I'm not fencing you. The smallness you are feeling, the little life we've been living as Christians, is not from God. The limited, restricted lives that we live as believers is not from God. God is not restricting us. God is not limiting us. God is not keeping us. Glory to God. God is not the one saying, you're not going to enjoy this thing. No. God wants you to have abundance. He wants you to enjoy glory. He wants you to... I mean, God says, I want you to have the best. Was talking to them in the time of Moses. He said, you will be head and not tail. He said, you will be above alone. Never beneath. You still remember Deuteronomy 28? He said, you'll be head, not tail. Head. That means the only place you can be is where? On top. The only place you should be is on top. The only place you can mistakenly be is on top. And that's why I want you to stay what we're learning. We're not learning how to, by effort, become what God has made us to become. We're learning that we already are what God has made us. All we need to do is let it flow. Glory to God. Have you ever seen an orange tree trying to bear what fruit will that be now? What do we call agbalumo in English? Cherry. When last you guys call it cherry? Alright, but that's the name, right? Alright, now, have you seen an orange tree trying to bear cherry? What will happen? It will be frustrated. It will be an effort in futility. Not because we did grafting or anything. You just want to... We can graft the two, have we? Okay, you can't even graft. Now, many of us are trying to become what is not us. Whereas we should naturally flow in what is us. There is what we are. There is who we are. We are trying to succeed the world's way. We're trying to live large the world's way. We're trying to define success the world's way. God has his own way. He has his own method. In John 6, they needed to feed the multitude. And Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to get enough money to feed these people? He asked a question, but he himself was not going to function by money. They don't spend money in heaven, or do they? Money is for the earth. So Jesus is from heaven, so he didn't come to the earth to be limited by the life of the earth. He brought the life of heaven to superimpose it upon the earth. Who understands what I just said? He brought a superior life. Something different. Something higher. Something better. And then Jesus was told 200 denarii worth of food cannot even feed these people so they can take a bite. They can't take a bite on 200 denarii. Andrew shows up and says, there's a little boy here. He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Andrew ended by saying, but what is this among so many? And the next thing Jesus would say would baffle them. He said, tell the men to sit down. He could have said, can we raise an offering? Which is a natural thing all of us will still do. Can we find some people that seem to have a bit of cash around there? They should have cash. They've been here for 3 days. Shouldn't they have some money? Just said, tell the men, sit down. And the Bible said the men were numbered in 5,000. The disciples are going, okay, now that they are sitting down, what's the next plan? So he says, bring me the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then he gave thanks to the Father of life. And life began to manifest. Just gave thanks and said, Father, thank you. Glory to God. And then he gave it to them and said, give it to the people. You know, when he gave thanks, the food did not multiply. He gave thanks, then he gave the disciples the food. It multiplied in the hands of the disciples in giving it to the people. Then you break the bread and then give it. There's something more to break, okay. And then there's something more to break, okay. And then there's something more to break, okay. Okay, let's just be breaking. Just be breaking it as it's moving. How do you give 5,000 men? We didn't count women, we didn't count children. As they broke the thing, it just was spreading. He brought a different life upon the earth. Jesus believes in means of transportation. I hope you know that.
In the triumphant entry, like it's popularly called, he rode a donkey into Jerusalem. It could have floated in the air. Don't you think he had the power to float in the air? He did. So he believes in means of transportation. He wasn't unlocking the supernatural every day. He lived the natural. He enjoyed the natural. But in the same John 6, when he finished feeding the multitude and they came to take him by force to make him king, Bible said he went to the mountain to be alone by himself. When he was through, his disciples had gone a bit further into the waters, but they couldn't go too far because the wind was disturbing them. And there was no other boat around him. You know, and Jesus wondered and said, I will wait here till they come and pick me the next day. Is that what he did? He said, they've gone. There's no ride anymore. I've missed the last ride. I'm going to sit down here and chill for them to come back. Is that what he did? All right. He turned the water to a walkway. Isn't that wonderful? The wind was disturbing the boat, but Jesus just bounced. He just kept on bouncing. You know, and they said, ah, it must be a ghost. He said, no, it is I. Be not afraid. He broke the law of gravity. Isn't that possible? He broke gravity. My point is, there's a different kind of life. I know we like to, you know, dream and please dream. Someday we want to sit or own a Gulfstream aircraft and then just fly all the nations of the world. But in Acts chapter 8, when Philip finished ministering in Samaria, and an angel told him to go, you know, meet the Ethiopian eunuch, Bible said when he finished preaching to the Ethiopian guy and he baptized him, he was caught up. And he appeared in a land called Azotus. So Saul can spend money to buy Gulf Stream. And that person can move by Holy Ghost Stream. I don't know if you got that. You just close your eye in Ijebode and land in Port Harcourt in like 5 minutes. Yeah, it happened in the Bible in Acts chapter 8. And it wasn't Jesus it happened to, it was Philip, a disciple. Just close his eyes somewhere, open his eyes somewhere else. You know? It's your wedding day and they say there's traffic. Lagos by the expressway is blocked. Everything is just jammed. And then you slept somewhere on the highway just to drive in for your wedding. Okay, most people don't do that, right? Okay, maybe you finish your wedding and you're going for your reception. Do you know there are couples that have spent the night on that expressway before? Yeah, when we usually have those interesting Nigerian traffic jams. So you can imagine when husband and wife just look at themselves and say, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. So can we leave this car right now? And say, yeah, can we go? Yeah, are you ready? Should we hold the bag and move with the bag or we'll just move together and the bag will join us? The husband asks the wife, which one do you want? As funny as these things sound, these are the marks of supernatural life. They seem far-fetched. Far-fetched. I said yesterday that we don't do miracles deliberately. They just seem to happen. But God wants to move us until these things become deliberate. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they prayed, and then they sang praises. And Bible said there was an earthquake, and the prison doors opened, but those guys didn't run out. There would have been different reasons why they didn't run out. But one of it could be, if we could do this once, we can do this again. I don't know if anybody got that. If we will pray and sing and the door will open, then there's no point in running. It means we can pray and sing again and the door will open again. How many of you like that part? So you don't hold the key to your house anymore. Just stand in front of the door and start singing. Now, I'm using stories you know, but I'm needing to communicate something to us that is a different kind of life. Same thing happened in Acts chapter 12. Peter was to be killed. Prayer was being made for Peter. And Bible said that he slept among guards of soldiers. And an angel came and smote him. And Peter woke up. And Peter thought it was a vision that he saw an angel. And then Peter was chained. But suddenly, when the angel woke him up, the chains from his hands and legs fell off. The angel did not use a key. And then they got to the door of the prison. It opened. And all the guards were knocked off on the floor. Every door of the prison opened. Every door of the prison opened. They get to the next door, it opens. They get to the next door, it opens. They get to the next door, it opens. Then they got to the major city gate. And Bible said that it opened to them of its own accord. It's not remote control button. So I'm saying technology is good. Let's ask that things happen to make human life easier and better. But I'm saying, no matter how better human life gets, there's a supernatural life that is higher than that. Imagine standing in front of a door and it opens by itself. No key, no singing this time around. No prayer, no worship. You find that in the Bible. These are men just like us. These are men just like us. But Christianity has been watered down to needs. 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 So if this were a miracle service, everybody comes here with a list of needs. And it keeps eroding in our consciousness who God has made us to be. Am I saying your needs are not real? We all have expectations. We all have what we call faith projects. They are right in front of us. They stare us in the face. But the supernatural, the life of God, is much more real than the needs in front of us. Feeding the multitude was a need to Jesus Christ. But he didn't tackle it the natural way. Healing the sick was a need people had. Or being healed was a need. But Jesus never tackled it the natural way. Isn't it interesting that Luke, that wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, Luke happens to be a doctor, a physician. But he didn't function in that ministry. That means they operated in something different. Paul didn't have to say, Luke, so check them out, see if they are healed. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying Luke was a certified physician. If you need a hospital, I'll personally take you there. So is that okay? So I'm okay with going there. But I'm saying there's something higher. You know, Luke was with Paul in Acts 28 when the father of Publius was ill. And Paul said, I'll come and heal him. Paul could have said, Luke, check him out. What level of fever is it? And then Luke brings out stethoscope. I'm not sure if there was one then. And checks him. He says, oh, it's semi-mid-high fever. There's likely nothing like that, all right? Just follow me. All right, so he says, check, pulse, it's fine. How many days does he have to survive? 3 days. So now, who understands what I'm saying? Luke wasn't consulted as a physician. He was treated as a disciple. I don't know if anybody got that. While we're learning to walk by faith, you need medical science to keep you alive. But picture when we all now walk in that super abundance of health, where the life of God is concerned. You will then be able to fulfill your ministry easily, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Is that not what Jesus told disciples? Someone says, I want to find out what my purpose is. Jesus just said it, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Pastor, I want to know who I should marry. Tall, short, fat, slim. Choose whoever I feel like marrying. Make sure the guy is just born again and serious with God. After that, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Pastor, I want to know which job I should take. Should I take the job in Lagos? I take it in Port Harcourt. Which job do you want to take? After you have taken that job, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. But Pastor, I want to know, should I build this house or that house? A bungalow, duplex? Should I get a house up front or back front? How do I maximize this space? How do you want your house? After deciding the way your house should be, then heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. What's my point? We spend more time discussing the non-essentials. We have abandoned the essentials. The assignment Jesus gave to the church is seldom talked about. When last did you sit down as a believer and say, I'm bored. I'm just so bored. Can I find someone to go and pray for? Did you hear what I just said? I said, I'm bored. Guys, can we do something? Can we find a madman to go and heal? I'm just so bored. I need some action.
When the church starts talking like that, then we are in our right senses. But all do we talk about? I'm bored. I need some entertainment. And we keep finding entertainment that keep us again in the soulish realm. We look for songs that keep us human. Sometimes less than human. We look for things that drown us. When last were you bored and you felt, I'm so bored, I need to go and pray. I'm bored. I need someone to go and teach the word. These are the assignments of the church. They've become the non-essentials. They've become things that only spiritual people discuss. And these are the things that last forever. Everything else is mundane. Everything else is fleeting. Everything else will fade. Anybody listening to me today? Everything else is fleeting. Everything else. Tell anybody, I'm bored. Tell anybody, I'm bored, man. I need some action. I need some Holy Ghost action. I need some raw action. If you can't tell somebody, tell yourself. I need action. You know, sometimes you are so on fire, if you don't look for action, action looks for you. But how much fire are you building up? Because there's so much on your inside. And the church must be developed. We have the fullness of God in us. To do what? Build houses? That would be a joke. We have the fullness of God in us. To do what? Buy a car? It'll be a joke. We have the fullness of God in us. Kai, ai, ai. 2 Corinthians 6:13. 2 Corinthians 6:13. Paul says, I'm speaking as plainly as I can. And with great affection. What did he tell them? Open up your lives. Live how? Openly and... live big. I'm not talking about someone lodging in a hotel and, you know, tripping for the weekend. That's small life. Aye. Let's grow to a point where we discuss revelations and manifestations. Anybody understanding me? Let's grow. That what we are yearning is what? Revelations and manifestations. Then there will now be things that you'll be telling your friend, something happened yesterday, I can't tell you today. Give me 5 weeks to see me. And then when it's 5 weeks and you're telling a person, can you, I'm sure I can imagine if I tell you. You really shouldn't tell a believer, can you imagine? Hope you understand that. Who heard what I just said? You really shouldn't be telling a believer, can you imagine? The believer has the ability to do more than his imagination. Yeah. Alright? So you should be able to imagine this. You know, I was praying last night. And then I thought I was praying in my room. And then I saw myself in a place, it looked like Tokyo. And then I was praying for an old man there. He said a man was going to die. But I prayed for him and I said they wouldn't die. But I don't know the man. And then I'm back in my room. And yesterday afternoon's news, I was somewhere in someone's office. And I don't watch CNN, but they just put it on CNN. And they said this chief, high chief in Tokyo, was about to die. And suddenly he got healed supernaturally. And by the time I checked the time of the news, I checked the time. And I did, you know, a bit of calculation of time zone. And I realized it was when I was praying. And that was the exact man I saw when I was praying. Can we discuss that? Because there's something like that. It's only witches that travel. No, because that's what our culture has taught us. It's witches that travel.
John G. Lake was praying in South Africa, and then he took off. This one, he saw it. He saw himself traveling. He saw himself leave Africa. He saw himself travel. He saw himself enter Britain. He saw himself enter into an asylum in Britain. And he saw himself minister to a mad person in that asylum in Britain. And he watched himself travel back to South Africa right there without an aircraft. And he landed back in the room where he was praying. And then he wrote a letter to his friends in the UK. Said, did something happen in something place? It wasn't too specific so that they can tell him exactly what happened. They said, yeah, there was this case of this insane person, and at that so particular day, so particular time, the person was miraculously healed. We cannot tell where. Jesus said, what time? They gave him the time, they gave him the date. He calculated same time, same date, same moment. That was the person. One happened in a Kenneth Copeland convention. A man sat somewhere at the back of, was it Copeland? I think they shared it in the Copeland's meeting. So I can't tell if it exactly happened in the Copeland's meeting. You know, a man sat in a church, and then a guest minister was called, you know, was coming into the church somewhere, maybe before, after the meeting. They met, and the guest minister looked at him and said, I know you. And, you know, the guest minister is black. He's African. And the white man said, I know you too. Oh, you got me born again. And the white man was shocked because they've never met. But he remembered he saw a vision, and this was how he went. He's an office person, wakes up every morning, gets to his office ahead of time, and just spends time praying every time he gets to his office. Just praising the Spirit, praising the Spirit, praising the Spirit. Gets to the office, just praising the Spirit. One of those moments, while he was at his office table before work started, he just saw himself in an African village. And he saw a black young boy. And he preached to that black young boy. After the young boy got born again, villagers were coming with, you know, daggers and all the stuff. And the boy said, let's run, let's run. You run this way. So the man ran and then appeared back in his own office praying. So he thought he saw a vision. This young boy now becomes a black preacher. Meet him in a meeting in America and say, sir, you got me born again. You came over to Africa to preach to me. The man said, I didn't come. I was in my office. He said, you came. So what you saw as a vision, me, you actually appeared physically to me in Africa. Can we discuss these kinds of things? There's a man called Phil Haverson. Haverson is a man of prayer. Gives ample time to praying in the Spirit. Prays a whole lot in tongues. Haverson one day was at a hotel, attending a conference, just pacing the floor of his room, just going back and forth, you know, back and forth, back and forth. There was a preacher, a pastor in the next room, couldn't attend the session because he was sick to the point of death. His wife was kneeling on the floor beside him, crying, oh God, help us, oh God, help us. Haverson was praying and pacing the floor, praying and pacing the floor, and while he was pacing, he just walked through the wall, got into the next room, laid hands on the man that was there. The guy got up, and Haverson just walked back through the wall again and came to his own room, pacing the floor. Haverson did not see any wall, he just walked. This is not about rice and beans, it's not about school fees. The ability that can do that, what is school fees in front of that one? I'm saying, can we come up higher? Can we come up higher? Life has been too mundane. You go to churches that do vigils, it's 90% Christians that are busy looking for miracles that are there. Whereas the capacity of God is inside each one of them. And they are busy with one need or the other. And the church has been weakened with needs. The need meters are now the ones needing needs. Having needs, needing their needs met. We are the ones to meet the needs of the world. We are the answer of society. We are the answer of humanity. We are the ones. We are the ones. We are the ones needing healings and miracles. Whereas Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. When last did you obey that scripture? The one we want to obey is pastor. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. That's the one we're interested in obeying. Pastor, the Bible says he that finds a wife. Pastor, the Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. Those are things we're interested in. Things that almost don't amount to a hill of beans. They amount to, in a lot of instances, to nothing but a hill of beans. You won't get to heaven and you are asked, did you marry? Did you have a baby? You won't be asked that. And that's all our lives are about. Who to date and who is not dating us. Oh, when there's a glory life waiting for us. A life of power. Paul said, let him that is married behave like he's not married yet so that he's focused. So marriage, if you're not careful, can be a distraction. Relationship has its own distraction. You don't have money and the baby's fighting for not calling her. Last time she checked, you only had 200 naira airtime and she's still fighting. You haven't called me yet. And then you manage to flash and she's angry that you flash her. Alright? And then it's her birthday and you've not even paid your own pay what now. She gets angry, she wants to throw a bash. She wants to do all these latest tops that people do for birthday. July 29. You know, that you must wear your own and I must have my own. And the person knows that you've not even paid your house rent. How selfish can people get? How selfish can people get? When you get into a relationship, what is the direction? To fulfill a mission or to just appease your senses and your flesh? When a guy walks up to you and says, I like you, like me, okay, so that we do what? Are you bored? Are you saying you like me so we can go and be laying hands on sick people? No, why are we coming together? Listen to me. There are men that will have footprints in the sands of time. And they will have footprints in the sands of eternity. There are those that will have footprints in the sands of time, but they will never raise a speck of dust in eternity. With all their wealth and all the things they have on this earth, they will never move an inch in eternity. What kind of life do you want? Everything you want here and nothing over there? There's a bigger life than what we have. Because when this life is over as we have it, the show really just begins. I can't touch that one today. When this whole show is over, the show just started. Because in us is the life of God. And there will come a time that within the twinkling of an eye, this body becomes immortal. It just changes. It becomes like the very body that Jesus has right now. When we get to that point, we just started the journey. What you call the end is actually a beginning. God cannot now make us fully supernatural then the life ends. Just enter heaven and go and be worshiping. Do you think that's all you're supposed to be doing? That's an anomaly. There's something to do. We're just starting. We're just beginning. Now we now are fully kitted for work. Spirit, soul, body, divine. Anybody understanding my English today? What are you here for? There's a higher life. There's a bigger life. There is. And this divine life finds expression even in the everyday things you do. G. Lake says that when he prays for people and they don't get healed, he passes them over to another room. Then his wife comes to that other room. And as she touches the people, she knows why they did not get healed. Imagine if that kind of person was a medical doctor. Moving around with stethoscope and then just lay hands on the patient. You just know. Because doctors are doing their best and we need to pray for them to keep knowing what to do. But sometimes it's just guesswork. You tell me your symptoms, I can arrange what your symptoms sounds like to meet what should be happening to you. But sometimes something is beneath what is going on. I can just tell. Can just know. This is it. This is it. Hagin also walked in that. Sometimes just lay hands on people and just tells that it's your right lung. Your right lung hasn't been working for too well. People say, how did you know? You just knew. It's a supernatural instinct to just know this. Your left lung is not working well. Your right limb is not working well. How did you know? Have you read God's Generals before? You've heard of a man called William Branham. Branham will tell you your name, your address, your car's plate number. Not like a lot of the fake people we have around town. Branham has what they call healing line. A lot of them have that. You bring a paper that has all the sicknesses you know on your body. On it. Then Branham reads the paper and then lays hands on you, you know. And then a particular group of people ganged up, two husbands, two wives. They met in a restaurant and they planned how they were going to deceive Branham. So they picked the paper and then just wrote names of funny sicknesses and put it there and said, we'll prove that he's not a real man of God. And one of them took it, got on the line, got in front of Branham. Branham picked the paper, looked at the person and said, I see you. I see you in a restaurant. He described the tablecloth. He described the light. He described the four of them that sat at the table. He described the conversation they had. He described why they had to write this. You only did all that to prove that I'm wrong. He described it. With everything he did like that, there's still a bigger fullness. With all of that, there's a higher fullness. So if that one is not full, look at where you are and look at where you are going. So question is, when do you want to get there? I told you yesterday, Jesus met Philip. And then Philip went to call Nathanael. And Jesus met Nathanael and told him, you're an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Then I said, how did you know me? He said, before Philip called you, you were sitting under the tree. I knew you. You know, many of us have disappointments in life. We've all had people disappoint us. And when we get disappointed, it's because we were not walking in the light. Light is never disappointed. Because light sees. Peter did not deny Jesus. And Jesus now said, Peter, me. Peter, upon everything I've done for you. Peter, you denied me. No. Even before Peter had the hint of a denier, Jesus told him he was going to deny him. Imagine when someone will mess you up 3 weeks and I tell a person, exactly 3 weeks from now, you're going to do this to me. Because you just know. Some people disappoint you. You are not moved because you already knew. So it's not a disappointment. Jesus was not caught unawares about what Judas did. He picked the 12 and he picked Judas. And when it was time, he told them, one of you will betray me. And he looked at Judas. What do you want to do? Do quickly. Wasn't disappointed. There's a fullness. Pastor, my boyfriend jilted me. Walk in the light. Yeah. No, I'm trying not to be funny now. Walk in the light. Pastor, I caught my girlfriend doing this, then walk in the light. Pastor, my parents told me they'll send me money. They eventually did not send the money. If you had walked in the light, you'd have known the money wasn't coming. Yeah. Pastor, the promotion they promised me, they eventually did not give it to me. Walk in the light. All of us have toyed around with darkness. It's time to say no more. It's time to say no more. It's time to say we are sons of God and we must prove our sonship. No matter how many mistakes we make, it's time to say I'm going to grow and make my mistakes. I'm going to keep growing. Babies make mistakes, don't they? But they're going to grow. So we're going to grow. Amen. So it's not about where we are right now. Paul says, till we come to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're growing into something. And we must grow into it. No more darkness, church. No more. John 10:10. John 10 and verse 10. Glory to God. Amplify, please. John 10 and 10, amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and what? Say have and enjoy. Say have and enjoy. What I love about this one is the having and the enjoying. You can have money in your bank and not enjoy it. You can have some right relationships around you and not enjoy them. So I love this combo. Have and enjoy. Have and enjoy. It says, I am come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until anybody wants to overflow. Glory to God. But what kind of life is this? John 5, 26. We could be back on King James. John 5, 26. John 5, 26 says, for as who? As the Father has life, where? In himself. He has granted the Son to have life, where? Does God have life? Does Jesus have life? And Jesus said, I came that you may also what? That means it becomes a family that just has life. Shayayay. Say, we have life in our family. No wonder John 1 from verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him. Come on, in Him. In Him. That means this world was made by life. When we're young, we love to sing all things bright and beautiful. All creatures, great and small. All things bright and wonderful. The Lord God made them all, and it's correct. But I just like to sing the life of God made them all. Oh, it means my life will be bright and beautiful. Why? Because I have the life of God. In Him! Come on! In Him was life. And that life was the light of man. So where there is life, there is light. Who's hearing what I'm saying? Where there is life, there is what? Now, what does verse 5 say? And this light. Oh, come on, somebody. And this light. Is there light in this place? Do you have the life of God? If you do, what then do you have? You have light and you shine. He says, and the light shines in darkness. Yesterday I was saying that people get to say, people can take away your glory. Which of the glories? If anybody messes up with your glory, then this verse is not true. And the light shines in darkness. And the light shines in darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. Oh, but there are wicked people in your extended family. Don't go to the village, and the light shines in the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. Oh, but people hate you, don't hang around them, but this light shines in the darkness. This light shines in the darkness. They're planning how to pull you down in your company or your office. This light shines in the darkness. This light shines in the darkness. People say, Pastor, you don't understand. I know a pastor in my office that they jazzed. My own light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot what? The word comprehend means what? So they just can't understand why you're still shining. They just can't understand why you're still glowing. They just can't understand why you're still moving. They just can't understand whether it's human that are trying to be dark or whether darkness itself is trying to be dark. They just cannot understand why I'm shining. And stop giving an excuse for being poor. That's not shining. And don't come here with God's time is the best. Because you can't find that verse. Please listen to me well. Don't come here with God's time is the best. God's time is your time. Your time is God's time. Yeah. Yeah. When you're ready, He's ready. Because before you were born, He was born ready. Do you understand what I said? God was ready. He gave birth to you ready. When you are ready, He's ready. He says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his own heart, but believe that whatever he says will come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. Not whatever I say. I am not in the equation. God did not put himself in that verse. Neither did he put the devil in the verse. He didn't say you will have whatever he say if the devil doesn't stop you. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. That's Mark 11:23. God said, you will have what you say. People say, oh, but Jehovah has a final say. Jehovah said, I don't. You have the final say. Oh, but Jehovah turned my life around. He turned it when you got born again and gave you your final say. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Even Proverbs teaches that death and life are in the power of God's tongue. Whose tongue? He that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your own tongue. So if you get busy singing Jehovah as a final say, Jehovah say, wake up, honey. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore we speak. Therefore we speak. So I say, so what's going to happen? You need to do something. It's like chess. God has made his move. It's your move. You can't skip a turn this time around. It's your own move. You can't skip your turn. It's like draft. It's like Ludo. One partner plays, the other person plays. One person plays, the other person plays. God has played the game. It's your move. People do wrong things and they say, God, what were you looking at when I was doing it? God said, it was your move. Things bad things happen to people. They say, God, why did that happen to you? It was your move. It was your own move. It was your own move. And rather than believers learning the word and how to enjoy victory by the word, we just want to put our responsibilities on the enemy. It's the people in my family that are just making sure things are bad for me. But pastor, don't you understand that they're not wicked people? I know there are. But your weapons of war are not carnal. The weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal. And in addition to that, you are not wrestling with flesh and blood. So those people in your family you are afraid of, they are not your problem. Your ignorance is your problem. Your laziness is your problem. Oh, I thought you thought I was going to say the devil was the problem. The number one problem of church is ignorance. It's not the devil. God said, they know not, neither do they understand. So the whole world is falling out of place. I have said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High, but you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because they did not know. My people are destroyed. Not for the presence of the enemy. It's a lack of the knowledge. Pastor, but I'm having challenges. People do. It's a warfare. We fight. Kenneth Copeland's son, John Copeland, his wife had about between five or seven miscarriages. After the first one, wouldn't you have said, Copeland's family, why? It's a fight. You fight. You now produce your own children. Shared with them on campus, which said that we had one, and the next one was supposed to be heavy blood came out, baby still followed. Because you fight. All of a sudden, when some of you fight, you now say, life is tough. Life is tough. No, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Oh, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It means I'm arming you. I give you energy. I give you strength. But believers just want to put responsibility on somebody else. No, you have the life of God in you. You have the DNA of God on your inside. You are the child of a king. You are the prince over the earth. You reign and rule with the words of your mouth. Are you still here tonight? Glory to God. Are you born of God? Are you born of God? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. I want you to watch this now. I want you to see this, please. Now, do you remember John 1:14? You know, John 1:1. John chapter 1 from verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and then the Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Now, John 1:14 says, and the Word did what? Watch this. What became flesh? What became flesh? What became flesh? So Jesus was simply the word that did what? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? That's because the word became flesh. So that word that became flesh was manifesting something. Is that true? 1 Peter 1:23. Watch this. Haven't been what? Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through. What gave birth to you? Your body was born by your parents. When you got born again, you were born again by what? No, according to this verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the. So you were born again by what? Jesus is the word became flesh. The same word that became flesh is the same word that produced you. Wake up. The exact word that produced Jesus in the body is the exact word that reproduced you as a new creation. Not a different substance. Not a lower substance. The word became flesh. Now the same word reproduced you. What then would your DNA look like? I don't know if anybody's hearing this. You know, there are sicknesses that are hereditary. Because someone gave birth to you, the person can transmit something to you. If the word gave birth to you, what did the word transmit to you? Did anybody say life? In him was life, and that life was the light. Now you are born by the word. What do you receive in the word? Oh, come on, somebody. That means when Jesus shows up and I show up, we are made of the same substance. What made him made me? What recreated him? Because he got born again to what created him, recreated him, recreated me. I'm the same substance with him. Chapter 2, verse 2. So I can go to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. Peter says, as newborn babies or babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Once again, what does he say? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may what? What the church needs is growth. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to grow. Most of us have seen babies before. Do you know if we give birth to a baby right now, that baby girl can give birth to another baby girl? It's just a matter of time. True or false? If you give birth to a baby boy, that baby boy can reproduce himself. It's just a matter of time. Do you know babies have digestive systems like you do? But they cannot digest solid. They can't chew bones. But do they have digestive systems nonetheless? What do they need? Growth and development. Do babies have respiratory systems? What's the difference between their own and your own? Development. Anybody still here right now? So the baby is a full human being. All he needs is to do what? Same way, all because the divine attributes are not expressing themselves through you does not mean they are not already inside you. And if you got that, what do you need? Growth and development. So rather than us reading the Bible and say, is it possible? Oh, is it true? Why don't you tell yourself, calm down, just start growing. Just grow. Just grow. Read the Bible and stir up your faith that someday, like Jesus, I want to meet a Philip and meet a Nathaniel and tell the Nathaniel where he was before Philip met him. That someday, like Jesus, when the robber meets the road, I want to walk on water. Some say, for what? I don't know too. I'm just a child of God. There are different kinds of waters. If we all live in places where there's tsunami, we won't be afraid. Because we could stop the water. Or ask our houses to rise. Or do something. I know what I'm saying sounds crazy. But if Jesus was in a place and there was tsunami, he won't run. He won't flee. If there was an earthquake, he won't run. Until the church becomes in action and behavior like Jesus, the value of his death, burial, and resurrection has not been received. Because all we have now are a bunch of religious people who have been raised into the exact image of God's Son, but they still live as if they are beggars, begging God's Son for favor and mercy. The church is filled with people that must plead the blood before they leave the house. I'm not trying to go there. But it's not relevant. Jesus would not even plead his own blood if he was going out. I don't know if you heard what I just said. He won't plead his own blood. Because most of you don't understand what it's all about. You just get angry. You learned it from the Old Testament, and I keep asking, how many times did they plead the blood in the Old Testament? Once. Why is the church doing it every day? They did it when they were leaving Egypt to move into the wilderness to get ready for the promised land. We have left Egypt, which is the world. We have entered into our own promised land and we're still busy pleading the blood. The blood was shed for your crossover. The same way the blood was shed for their crossing over, the blood was shed for your own crossing over. You don't bring the pleading of the blood into the crossover. But pastor, we have fight. When they were going to fight the war of Jericho, why did they not plead the blood on their way to fighting? Nobody likes to study. So we are filled with need-minded thinking. Is there a child of God in this house?
2 Peter 1 verse 4. Peter says, by which have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, says that through these we might become what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers of what? Hold on. Partakers of what? To partake means to do what? Share. Divine nature sounds like what? God's nature. So I am a sharer of whose nature? Am I a beggar of God's nature? Let me play around a few things. I'll quickly come back here. I want to tie it up so that we just end it. Do I really need to ask God to open the heavens? You say yes, you don't understand what I'm saying. Isaiah prayed and said, rend the heavens, O God, and come down. And when Jesus was being baptized, the heavens were rent. And God came down in the form of the Holy Ghost and rested on him. And when he resurrected, the Bible said he also tore through and went back. When I think of an open heaven, I think of myself on the earth. And heaven above me. So God has to open heaven to bless me. But where am I? I'm seated together with him in the heavenly places. When did I come down? And then they closed the... I need to get at something. Where you are is an open heaven. The person beside you might not be born again, so the heaven is not open, but where me I am. Oh, yeah. Jacob was running away from his brother, and he put stone as pillow, and he slept off. And then he saw
that where he was the gate of heaven. He saw angels ascending and descending. He said, this must be the house of God, the very gate of heaven. This must be the house of God, the gate of heaven. And in John 1, when Jesus met with Nathanael, Jesus told Nathanael that because I told you I saw you, then you believe, soon enough you will see angels ascending. And he used the same language that Jacob used. You will see angels ascending, meaning he himself was the portal. You know what a portal is? He himself was a portal to heaven. Anybody understanding that? And Jesus now said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. So for every believer, angels are ascending and descending. For all of you, angels are ascending and descending. As you're staring at me, angels are ascending and descending. Do you know who you are? Am I speaking English? The fullness of God is in me. Colossians 1:19. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Do you remember that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in Him was life. Alright, got a louder chorus there. Okay? But it's fine enough. I'm okay for tonight. In Him was life. So the divine attribute to be light, life. The third one is love. Every believer has those three inside of him. And until we walk in a full manifestation of those three, we are not manifesting sonship on this earth. Where there is life, there's no death. Where there is life, there's no weakness. Where there is life, there's no sickness. Son, is understand me. Jesus touched a leprous person. Leprosy left. The woman with the issue of blood touched him. Her issue dried up. He opened the blind eyes. Nobody up until that time had ever opened a blind eye. Jesus opened the blind eye. Jesus raised the dead. All these are operations of what? Life. Anywhere I am, there is life. Where there is life, there's no aging. There's no wear and tear. Now, the natural part of the human body, Paul already says it, our natural self wears out. But there's no aging. That's life. Where there is light, there's no confusion. I can see tomorrow like I see now. I can see next year like I'm seeing now. I enter into a business meeting and I can tell who wants to dupe us and how much he wants to steal. I want to enter a relationship and I know 6 months down the line, his mother will say she went to one pastor and that's not my husband. Or his auntie will say that his dead girlfriend resurrected so he's not my husband again. My point is, you see things ahead of time. Where there is love, there is light. Where there is light, there is love. Where there is life, there is light. I'm trying to touch them without going there. The verses are available, obviously. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says God is love. Anybody remembers that? 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says God is light. And John 5:26 says the Father has life.
So when I want to piece up the attributes of God, it has to do with life, light, love. So as he loved, he now says, go and love. He was the light of the world. He now says, you are the light of the world. He was life. He now says, if you have me, you have life. Meaning you have these attributes in you. The choice is your own to grow in them. Until the church becomes unafraid of fear, we've not overcome and we've not grown into who we are.
Colossians 1:19
says, for it pleased the Father that in who should what? That means fullness can dwell in one person, true or false. Colossians 2 verse 9. For in him dwells what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 1 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Is Christ in you? Verse 19 says the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. Chapter 2 verse 9 says the fullness of the Godhead again is in Christ. Chapter 1 verse 27 now says Christ that has the fullness now lives where? Then what is inside you? Ephesians 3:19 amplified. Ephesians 3:19 amplified. That you may readily come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Knowledge without experience. That you may what? Oh, come on. That you may what? That you may what? That you may what? Be filled where? Stop. That you may be filled where? Where is all your being? Where is all your being? Filled in your legs. Filled in your hands. Filled in your mind. Anybody, did they call you a dullard? They've not met the real you before. Hagin said he used to fail exams. In fact, one particular time, for him to move, I think into one class, they had to meet the teachers to add one mark. Just add up one mark to his score. So for him to get promoted, for him to pass. And he said when he got born again, he came across one verse in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And he said the Holy Ghost led him to be saying it every day when he's going to school. And he says it every day when he's coming from school. He says that one. And he says 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creation. And it means life. And that life is the light of men. Then he says Daniel chapter 1. The way God gave Daniel knowledge and skill in all the learnings of the Chaldeans, God gives me knowledge and skill in all the learnings that I'm going to do. And he said after that, he was making straight A. If he failed an exam, he will have 90, 91, 95, 99. Said there was a particular exam he wrote, and the teacher said, I had to remove one mark because he got 100%. That's all that moved from a dullard to being super. He said his history teacher called him, gave him a history textbook. Read that chapter. He said he read it. Tell me what's there. He said he closed the book and told the man word for word what he just finished reading. He said his brain moved from whatever it was to super intelligence. All because he kept on telling himself, in me is life. And that life is my light. In me is life. If you've ever heard some Adeyemi's testimony, he'll give you the same verse. He said he failed an exam when he was in school as an ESCO, you know, fellowship ESCO. And he went to the field praying. And I think this verse dropped in his heart. And kept on saying, in me is life. And that life is my light. In me is life. And that life is my light. In me is life. And that life is my light. And something jumped inside him. It doesn't happen in a day. Many of us want quick fixes. Doesn't happen in a week. This is consistent chewing of the word. Consistent feeding of the word. I have the life of God in me. I have the fullness of God in me. Maybe you're here, you're broke. Money doesn't flow. You're here, your body's always sick. things are always going wrong. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. You wake up in the morning 30 minutes ahead of time. You are not trying to pray. You are not trying to worship. Your worship is, oh Lord, I just want to thank you because I have life. I have life. You want to sit in one corner, kneel beside your bed. You are talking 30 minutes in the morning. I've got the life of God, and that life is my light. I've got the life of God, and that life is my light. I've got the life of God, and that life is my light. The devil cannot stop this one. Oh, the devil cannot stop this one. This one, you are feeding yourself with the word of God. The fullness of God is in me. The fullness of life is in me. The fullness of light is in me. The fullness of love is in me. It grows in me. Ephesians 3, again, we're not through with it. Ephesians 3:19 says that you may be filled through all your being. Is that where we stopped? Hope you remember that. That you may be filled through all your being unto what? Can anybody picture the fullness of God rising inside him or her? Until what? Until you are filling up to overflow. Can you imagine yourself walking in so much light? Light, 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 light. There's nothing dark around you anymore. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's get tired of stumbling. Let's get tired of making mistakes. Let's get tired of hit and miss. Let's move into deliberate living. That you may be filled through all your being. Filled through all your being with all the fullness of God. Bone used to pain you before, but you're telling that bone, haha, you're filling up. You're filling up. Back used to ache you. You've taken pills and pills and pills. You're still taking pills, but it's filling up. It's filling up. It's filling up. Your energy is filling up. It's filling up. The doctor said you have low sperm count. Tell the sperm count. Don't worry. We're filling up. I'm being filled through all my being. Through all my being. Through all my being. With all the fullness of God. Glory to God. It's in me. I'm full of life. I'm full of light. I'm full of love. It's flowing in me. So when sickness touches me, it will go. Jesus did not know when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. She touched him. She was about to leave. But he sensed that power left him. She got healed without his permission. That means people can get healed around us without our permission. Oh, come on, somebody. She didn't say, sir, I want to get healed. I'm about to touch your cloth. So when I touch your cloth, I release your power. No, that didn't happen. Bible says she came from behind him, touched him, she got well. That means someone can just move around you. And then, you know, Shambach did something, and Bishop Odebo did a similar thing many years ago. Both of them did it many years ago. Shambach was, you know, it was somewhere, and then they brought someone that was mentally insane, and Shambach said, put the person in my car. Let me see the devil that will follow him into my car. And they moved the mad guy into his car, and that was the end. The person was healed from that day. Bishop Odebo has done the same. Did it many years ago. They brought someone that was insane, said, put the person in my car. Let me see the devil that is bold enough to enter my car. And that was the end of it. The same Holy Ghost you have, they have. The same Holy Ghost. It's time to grow. Let that fullness rise in us. Let that fullness rise in us. Let that fullness rise in us. I know some of us still use fleets. I do too. But there's a fullness. Some guys went to a camp somewhere and there were mosquitoes there. And boys slapping and beating themselves. And one of them looked at them and said, mosquitoes don't come near me. They die when they come near. Everybody laughed at him and said, stay there. You'll catch malaria. And they were slapping their bodies and hitting their bodies and fanning themselves and all that. And this guy slept all through the night. And by the time they woke up in the morning, they saw dead mosquitoes around his bed. How exactly did he do that? All he did was to unlock something they didn't unlock. There's more. There's more. There's more. That we may be filled through all our being with all the fullness of God. Imagine us staggering downtown because we're full of God. Oh, be not drunk with wine, but be full of God. It's time to get full. It's time to be filled up. It's time to overflow. Full of life. Everywhere you go, things are working. Your auntie says her business is not moving. Say, auntie, I'm coming there. I'm coming there. I'm coming there. Then you come. Then you say, auntie, give me food. Now I'm hungry. Auntie, entertain me now. Then she entertains you. And then you play with her children. Give some of them money. You say, you're going. Auntie say, how can you go? How can you go? You came here. He said you are coming. Now you are coming. You are going. Say, ah, auntie, I'm not. I wasn't planning to pray. I was going to rest my presence in your shop. I've rested my presence in your shop. You are fine. So I say, really? Jesus said to disciples, when you go to a city, enter a house there. If you meet a child of peace, your peace will rest upon their house. That means you carry a presence. Every believer carries a presence. Every believer carries a presence. It means you can enter a place and your presence just rests. Many of you don't know you have a presence. And that presence can be the presence of God. You know, sometimes if you are fighting, you can move somewhere and they know you were fighting where you were coming from. Because you built a negative presence around yourself. Imagine if you now walk in the consciousness of God. In the fullness of God. You carry a presence. You carry a presence. You carry a presence. I was in a meeting recently and a minister was saying, you know, Reverend Gbade said he noticed that something happens to him nowadays. Any couple that is looking for a baby, all it needs to do is just sleep in their house. Say, I sleep in their house. I don't even need to pray. I don't do anything. I just sleep there. I get up and I go. They will get a baby. I said, awesome. He said, now they have to, people get to fly him to Abuja. People he knows. Pastor, come and visit us. Said he has had a busy day. He has had a tiring day. Said one, they flew him to Abuja. He had had a tired day. Full day. He got to Abuja. Then, you know, got to their house maybe 10 p.m. at night. So he was hungry. They put food in front of him. They now put it on one of these Christian stations. He said, I did not come to watch Christian station. Please give me football or something. You know, I mean, because it is no longer something he needs to walk up. It's no longer something he needs to use gymnastics to build. He said, I have come to know that this happens to me. They say, I don't pray. I enter the place I live in a shop where they call me back and say they have a baby. It's a presence. When you enter a place, you carry a presence. You have that presence in you. The fullness of God is inside you. They tell you have an exam, carry your presence into that exam. Oh, they tell you have an interview. Let the interview panel, let them feel the fact that someone just walked in. John G. Lake talked about a man. He said the man got born again, got full of the Holy Ghost. And the man entered someone's office. The person ran behind his table. And the guy said, why are you hiding? He said, when you entered my office, there was a light that entered with you. When you entered, there was a light that entered with you. Jerry Savelle was in a store. Was trying to buy some things in a store. Was moving around buying something. He said, after a while, someone came to him and said, sir, I don't know who you are, but from when you entered the store, I saw a light moving around. So I had to trace that light from where you were, and I followed the light, and the light is on you. Jerry said, I looked at myself, I didn't see light. But I know that inside me is the glory of God. Inside me is the glory of God. Do you believe that? Christ is in you. Oh, Christ is in you. Christ is in you, and Christ is the fullness of God. And if the fullness of God is in Christ, then the fullness of God is in you. Hallelujah! I carry the presence of God. Life is in me. Light is in me. Love is in me. Sometimes you want to have life. You want to have light. But you are not interested in love. Love is the combo. Love is the bond of perfection. When you are perfected in love, you are perfected in all things. Men don't see God. They see us. We are the expressions of God. We are the expressions of His love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 says, no matter what you flow in love. That's why the miracles of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Was moved with compassion. That was the love of God manifesting. We have love in us. Love in us. Even when somebody hates you, someone is beefing you, person has backstabbed you, backbeaten you, person has said bad things about you, now you meet the person, the love of God is flowing from you to that person. And you still give the person a word of knowledge to help the person move forward. Yeah. You can't have life and use it badly. You must operate by love. Oh, no. You must operate by love. You must operate by love. That neighbor of yours that doesn't like your face. That neighbor, you find person not feeling well. You cannot say, oh, now you see the backside of the anointing. You don't know how to treat anointed people. That's why you are sick. No. You say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, you are not allowed on my neighbor's body. I love my neighbor. My neighbor cannot be sick. Get up in Jesus' name. That's how we operate in the body of Christ. It's the love of God in manifestation. We are full of life. We are full of light. We are full of love. Fullness of life. In Christ dwells the fullness of God bodily. And I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I'm a partaker of life. I'm a partaker of light. I'm a partaker of love. Oh, glory to God. Anybody learn something here tonight? Anybody learn something here tonight? Do you have a presence? Do you have a presence? Do you have a presence? Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost? When the ark entered the house of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom prospered. Now means wherever I go, there must be prosperity. Wherever I go, there must be healing. Wherever I go, there must be soundness. Ken Hagin was with a minister, a preacher of the gospel. And the guy told Hagin, "Oh, Hagin, Kenneth, I forgot my insulin. I'm diabetic. I forgot my insulin." Hagin told him, "As long as you are in my presence, you will need not insulin. As long as you are with me, there will be no need." Hagin told him, "I carry something. As long as you are in this radius, as long as you are around me, do you have a presence? Do you have a presence? Come on, rise to your feet. Glory to God. I got the life of God in me. It's in me. It's overflowing from me.